Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into another edition of Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Auto Farm Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and today we are going to talk all baseball. We got to get in the baseball mood because it's opening night, and really all the news in the national sports scene, it's surrounding Major League Baseball. Yes, we get the Yankees and Nationals at 5 o'clock, and then we get the Dodgers and the Giants at 8, but Major League Baseball is still tinkering with the way the 60-game season is going to go down. The Players Association agreed to a plan today that would expand the playoffs to 16 teams for this season. And according to ESPN, it still needs final approval from the owners, but it looks like this is actually going to go down. And it may in fact be permanent, where all second place teams in the six divisions would now qualify for the playoffs. Then the seventh and eighth teams in each league would be chosen by best record. Think about that. A 16-team playoff in Major League Baseball. Now, one of the things that I have loved so much about the big leagues is that you have a 162-game season, your division winners go, and then the next two teams. It's a very slim pool. And the two wild card squads, you're looking at a best 2 out of 3 set to get in. So it's always kind of been my favorite type of format because it puts so much emphasis on the regular season. Take the NBA, for instance. 82-game season, 16 teams make it. It waters down the playoffs. The first round, you see a lot of blowouts outside of that 4-5 matchup. Typically 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, they don't work. They're blowouts. It's typically the way this works. Major League Baseball, by expanding to 16 teams, there's a great chance, well, there is a good chance that we're going to see a fourth-place team in a division in the postseason. I just don't know if that's the correct route to go. Maybe for this season, because 60 games is so short. But again, going back to things that I love personally about baseball, the marathon-type regular season. This changes things drastically. And I think it changes the way teams are going to play. I think it puts less emphasis on the final 40 games of the regular season if we get 162 games. And again, this year, there's too many variables with a 60-game season. I would be fine with it. But I believe this is going to be permanent. So it's something that we'll have to pay attention to. This is the way it would work. The first round of the playoffs in each league would be 4 3-game series. All games would be played at the higher seed's home stadium. The rest of the rounds would be normal length. The two division series in each league would be a 5-game series. The AL-NL Championship Series would be 7 games. Now again, this is not official yet, and today we are going to talk all baseball, previewing AL and NL. I'm going to approach it as if only 5 teams are going to the playoffs until this is official. Until they expand it to 3 more teams in each league, we're going to approach it as if 10 teams get into the postseason today. But this change means that 53% of the 30 teams would go to the playoffs. And back in the day, boy, with baseball, you had 2 teams that would go to the playoffs. If we go back to 1932, you had to win the NL outright and win the AL outright to get into the World Series. That's the way it worked. Some other news coming out of Major League Baseball today. Some bad news. We will not see Juan Soto, the young phenom for the Washington Nationals. He will not play in tonight's game because he has tested positive for COVID-19. And I believe that this sparks up what could be a whirlwind. We knew that Juan Soto had been exposed to someone that had tested positive for COVID-19, and that's the reason why he had not joined the Nationals earlier on for the exhibition games. If he has now been around the team everyone on the squad has been exposed to Juan Soto. He's not playing tonight. He's going to be out until at least August 1st. That's what they're saying right now. We jump over to the NFL. The Washington Redskins are no longer the Washington Redskins officially. Their name right now, Washington Football Team. That's their name. And we don't know how long that's going to be their name. Right now, they're trying to do a complete rebrand. And let's be honest, it's completely impossible to do a rebrand in 3 weeks. It's just not possible. So right now, they will be known as Washington Football Team. That's going to be their name. They're going to keep the burgundy and gold. They revealed what the helmet and what the uniforms would look like. Some names have trickled out. The Washington Sentinels was a name that became very popular yesterday on Twitter that the Redskins were considering. All of the mishaps of the XFL, they dropped the copyright on the Sentinels. Otherwise, they could have gotten a little bit of money out of that if that's the route the Redskins go. I'm all for it. Still the same team name as Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman's squad on the movie The Replacements. I think you should go for it. Let's go with the Washington Sentinels. However, right now, just the Washington Football Team. That's going to be their name. Very blank-looking logo. Just the word marks right now. The uniforms are extremely old-school-looking, but it looks as if that may be what the Redskins, or excuse me, Washington's football team rolls with going in to the 2020 season. And we'll end by taking a look at boxing. People love Mike Tyson. I don't understand the fascination with this guy. I didn't understand the fascination with Mike Tyson when he was in his heyday. I don't understand it today. But Mike Tyson is stepping back into the ring, and he'll go toe-to-toe with Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition contest, which is set for September 12th in Carson, California. The bout's going to be broadcast on pay-per-view and also some other multimedia platforms. And according to the news release, there's going to be a 10-part docuseries leading up to the bout. I've had a lot of people ask me today who I think would win this, and I don't know what the rule set is. I don't know if it's just a glorified sparring session. I don't know if it's something where these guys are actually going to throw down in the middle of the ring. I am unaware of what the rule set is. But I'll tell you right now, Roy Jones Jr. will win this fight if it's real. If we have judges and this is an actual fight, Mike Tyson is 54 years old, and I know Roy Jones is 51, but Jones has been active. Tyson hasn't fought in 15 years, and the last 5 years of his career, he was kind of a joke. I'll watch it. Yes, I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Why not? Roy Jones last appeared in a professional bout back in February of 2018. That was a win for him. It was a decision win. But Tyson didn't really seem too concerned about the risk as far as the ages. He said they're both accomplished fighters. They know how to take care of themselves. It's an 8-round exhibition, and they're going to be all right. That leads me to believe that this is going to be a glorified sparring session, but I don't care. Sign me up. Roy Jones, Mike Tyson in the ring, I'll watch it. While I've never understood the fascination with Mike Tyson, I respect the nostalgia that he brings to the sport of boxing. He got a lot of people into the sport. I think if you're a boxing purist, you probably have your issues with Mike Tyson. Yet in the same token, the guy definitely did some work for the sport of boxing. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, today we are going to talk baseball and a lot of it. AL and NL preview is coming up. I'll also give you the recap on the local sports front. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Judge hammers that into center field. It's Ciarte racing back, looking up, and that ball is gone.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. It is opening night for Major League Baseball. I still can't believe that we get to say that. It was very bleak there for a moment. In fact, I didn't believe we would have a baseball season when you had the Players Association going back and forth with Major League Baseball and the lack of leadership that Commissioner Rob Manfred was showing at that particular time. But nonetheless, here we go. 60-game compact season over the next couple of months, and it begins tonight as the Yankees and the Nationals are getting set to throw out the first pitch at 8 minutes after the 5 o'clock hour, and then we get the Dodgers and the Giants. We're going to preview both the American and National League right now with a very good friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. He joins us every year for a Major League Baseball preview show. It just so happens that we're doing this now in the middle of July instead of April. Steve, it's great to have you along. Thank you again for the time today.
Looking forward to this, 100 days later than 100 plus days after we should have started the regular season, but as we like to say, the new norm looks very different. But at the end of the day, look, it's a 60-game season. I think every game matters is the phrase now. I read somewhere that every one game is essentially like 2.7 games in what would be 160. Every game, you know, this season is like the equivalent of a 2.7 games. A 7-game win streak is the equivalent of a 15-game win streak. So it's going to look different. I think every game is going to be a lot more magnified. I think that makes it, for us, baseball fanatics, so much more fun.
No, I agree. Plus the element of the unknown, because you just don't know. If you go back over the course of history and you take a look at 60 games into the season, we've seen some really bizarre things. For instance, our beloved Los Angeles Dodgers would have won one National League West title outright over the last 5 years. One, that is it. And this is a team that has dominated the National League West. The difference here is, Steve, how do managers approach this season? I still believe that there is the mindset of it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's why you see so much chaos throughout the first 60 games. But I also cannot ignore the fact that every team loses 60 games, every team wins 60 games. It's what you do in the middle 40 that end up dictating playoff spots. I mean, that's a fact in Major League Baseball.
And I think we're asking all these questions about the on-field stuff. But really, it's the off-the-field stuff and the stuff that players, managers, coaches can't really control. It's going to be, you know, government disruption. Are we going to have, you know, is there going to be an outbreak somewhere in a city somewhere? If you're the Toronto Blue Jays right now, you don't even know where you're playing your home game. We got word yesterday that they were talking about doing stuff in Philadelphia or doing stuff out in Pittsburgh. Well, that didn't work out. So, I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays are essentially right now like a bunch of nomads with really no place to go right now because Canada's got certain restrictions. So it's really going to be, you know, not even so much the on-the-field product. And again, for anyone who's going to talk about the uncomfortableness of watching games at home with no fans in the stands, I've done it already for the last few nights. It doesn't make a bit of difference. The game is still the same. It's still 90 feet from, you know, home to first. It's still 60 feet, 6 inches from the mound to the plate. The game isn't any different. It's going to be how, you know, the nation itself and how cities and local governments and state governments and the federal government are going to handle outbreaks. And that's something that's completely out of everyone's control, at least as far as the on-the-field product is concerned.
I've actually enjoyed it. Just looking at the game itself, I mean, it is so much different. Yeah, I miss the roar of the crowd. I mean, Cody Bellinger going yard at Dodger Stadium typically brings that entire stadium to its feet in a big uproar. You don't get that anymore. I'm going to miss that, but nonetheless, it is baseball, and that is what is important. And Steve, tonight we get a look at the New York Yankees. A lot of talk about the Yankees throughout the offseason. Obviously, they made Gerrit Cole one of the highest paid players in sports history. That was a big deal. Seems like that was forever ago, but now we're here. We're ready to see the on-the-field product, and Gerrit Cole gets the ball tonight against the Washington Nationals.
And you look at that lineup. I mean, look, with Aaron Judge seemingly now at 100%, Giancarlo Stanton, it's the equivalent of the Dodgers in the American League as far as the talent-laden roster is concerned. But I've been spending a lot of time looking at how creative teams have been through this process of getting ready for this shortened season, and teams that, you know, did things. You mentioned it earlier about, you know, the shortened schedule and, you know, the importance of each individual game. In a 60-game season, you look at the Tampa Bay Rays as perhaps the most creative team where, you know, they've already got the pitching. They didn't have to make a lot of gigantic moves. They did enough, I think, to put themselves in a position that if there's a team other than the Yankees in the American League East, I look at Tampa Bay as that team to find hidden opportunities. You know, they've got a roster that's talented enough that if they stay healthy, obviously that's a big concern for everyone. But I've also I look at their starting pitching and their bullpen, and they have depth in both of those areas right now. And that's what makes Tampa Bay, I think, the most interesting other team in the American League East, not named the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And part of the reason has to be the unknown with starting pitching. Again, talking about the way managers approach this game, is it something where a quality start, which is six innings, giving up less than three earned runs, becomes a rarity? Or is it something that we become more accustomed to, seeing starting pitchers getting more work in? When you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, the idea of Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow, look, that's as good as anyone in the American League 1-2-3.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think if you're looking at the most popular team, obviously, you know, it's the Yankees. And look, there's going to be all the rhetoric about this team during the offseason. Garrett Cole's amazing. And I mean, if Garrett Cole pitches in New York the way he pitched in Houston, you know, these last couple of seasons, it's going to be lights out for them. But I worry about Garrett Cole's propensity to give up a lot of fly balls. And that's always been his thing, is he's a fly ball pitcher. He's not necessarily an overpowering strikeout guy. He does strike out a number of players, but he does give up a lot of fly balls. Fly balls in Houston are different than fly balls in the Bronx, especially in that short porch in right field. So I think there's going to be some, I think there's a learning curve there for Garrett Cole. And again, in a shortened season, learning curves are going to be a lot tighter this year.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now as we preview the Major League Baseball season, which will begin tonight. Steve, we'll talk about one other team in the American League that you seem to like an awful lot, and that's the Chicago White Sox. This is a team that presents a lot of the unknown. Again, in a 60-game season, this is so interesting. It's a team that is loaded with young talent. It's been a long time coming. If you are a Chicago White Sox fan, God bless you. You have earned this. You have waited for this. Now there's finally some excitement surrounding this team, and rightfully so.
I think this is the team, I don't want to say they're the team to beat in the American League, because obviously the Yankees will get to the American League West here in a moment. But if you're a White Sox fan, your optimism should be extremely high. Free agent addition, Dallas Keuchel, Yasmani Grandal, Lucas Giolito lived up to his hype with a great season and an all-star appearance last year. Tim Anderson, who emerged as one of the top shortstops, I think, in all of baseball last year. You toss in Eloy Jimenez, Louis Robert. I think this is the team that this year makes a gigantic run. And again, you said it a moment ago, if you're a White Sox fan, how many years have you been waiting to be not only just relevant, but in an American League Central that boasts the Twins, the Indians? This is a strong division. I think the White Sox are going to be fun this year. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
The move that I think is going to, I think the highly underrated move for the White Sox going into the year, it's Edwin Encarnacion, and having him as a designated hitter. And again, we'll talk about the NL because that changes things drastically. But when you look at the lineup front to back, there isn't very many weak spots. And you mentioned Yasmani Grandal. I think next to JT Realmuto, you're talking about probably the most gifted offensive catcher in the game. Grandal and Realmuto, I think it would have to be those two, 1 and 2. And you add Grandal, didn't have to give up anything for him. You just give him a team-friendly deal, all things considered. There's not a weak spot offensively in the lineup.
And if Dallas Keuchel comes in and he and Lucas Giolito form that 1-2 consensus, look, it's just a couple of years removed from Dallas Keuchel being one of the most dominant pitchers in the game. So, you know, you add in a little incentive of, you know, trying to prove yourself again, add in the incentive of doing it in a franchise that has the history that the White Sox do. I think they're an exciting, fun team to be a fan of this year.
Well, I think the division in itself is going to be very entertaining when you take a look at it front to back. In fact, I think you could make the argument that the White Sox will be playing in the most interesting or maybe even the most competitive division in all of baseball for 2020. Because again, just going back and looking at the competition that they're going to be going up against, not only in the AL but also the NL, Steve, it's fun. It's exciting. This is a great division.
No, it's a great division top to bottom. Look, the Twins proved a lot last year with the amount of home runs they were hitting last year. That's a fun team right there. Cleveland is always loaded. They've got plenty of talent. They've got plenty of big names on that roster, top to bottom. Pitching will be the issue for the Indians this year. But I think the overlooked guy in all of that is the management there. The management of that team, how they handle themselves in situations. Terry Francona is going to be under a spotlight all year long for the Indians this year.
Another name that I think is going to be in the spotlight for the Indians, what happens with Lindor? We're talking about an MVP candidate. He was rumored to be moved all offseason. In fact, there were heavy rumors picking up that he'd be on his way to Los Angeles, and that didn't happen. And if you look at where this team may fall within the standings, I mean, look, the Twins are going to be very good. You're high on the Chicago White Sox. It does you no good if you're the Cleveland Indians to have an MVP candidate when you're sitting third in your own division. That's another interesting storyline.
No, it's going to be a very, very fun division. And again, with Lindor, you know, there's that, you know, there is the, you know, how much do you value me factor? And that's the thing. I mean, players have personalities, and players remember hearing about all the trade rumors. I don't want to say that they have a vendetta, but he's got a lot to prove. And he's going to prove this to this organization this year and the ones that kind of fell through the cracks, if you will.
We'll end the AL with, again, a very competitive division, the AL West. Here we have the Angels, who finally spent some money adding Anthony Rendon, fresh off a World Series championship, to give Mike Trout some protection. Shohei Ohtani should be back on the mound, even though he's had a couple of rough outings during the exhibition contests. But the Angels finally made some noise. I'm not a believer in the Angels. I believe they're probably third best within this division. To me, it's a two-pony race, the Astros, the A's. I went out on a limb earlier this week and said I'm going to take the A's to win that division. There's a lot of distractions right now with the Houston Astros, but still, nonetheless, there's some compelling storylines here as well, Steve.
How much do the Astros, I mean, we talked so much about Gerrit Cole adding to the Yankees, but how much do the Astros miss Gerrit Cole? How big a factor is that to you?
To me, it's a pretty big factor because, again, you made a move last year for Zach Greinke, and I don't know if that move was made with the anticipation that Gerrit Cole would be leaving at the end of the year. Because to me, look, when front offices make trades, obviously it's about that particular season, but that's too short-sighted, right? So you have to believe that in that deal, Houston was preparing for life without Gerrit Cole because there's no way they were going to pay him what the Yankees paid him. And so to me, this was something that the Astros were prepping for last season while trying to go all in for a World Series championship. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you on that one. I kind of agree with that, and I think that's where Oakland comes in here. It's the balance of their roster. They're not overpowering in anything. You know, they don't overwhelm you with the names on the roster. They've got talent, obviously, but it's the balance of the roster. They're not dependent on one guy. Like you mentioned with the Astros, you know, I don't want my season resting on Zach Greinke. I can't imagine anyone in the Astros organization. Obviously, publicly, they won't say that, but privately, I don't want my season resting on the arm of Zach Greinke. Look, you got Verlander. That's great, but now you're missing a giant piece of that Astros roster. So if you look at the A's, it's the balance of the roster. You've got some shallow rosters in the other two divisions, in the other two teams there. So I think that's where I look at the A's. I think I agree with you. That's a fan base that, even if they're not in the stands, they will be behind that organization 1,000%. And I think they've got a lot to prove in that organization. And you look at the Angels, all the pressure is going to be on them now. Anthony Rendon, the gigantic contract. Is Ohtani going to be 100%? What will he be able to provide to them? If those things work out, great for them. But I look at the A's. I think you're right on with the A's. I think they're going to be a fun team and a very competitive AL West.
All right, let's make our playoff picks. Just taking a look at the way things are going, division winners. Even though I believe the Rays are going to make things interesting as far as the AL East, I'm still going to go with the New York Yankees because they have more talent. But again, I do believe that it's a little bit closer than many of the experts want to believe. So give me the Yankees coming out of the AL East. This is where it gets really interesting. This is where it gets really interesting in the American League because the Central, I could see it going one of three ways. I'm going to roll with the Minnesota Twins. In the West, I'm going to go with the Oakland A's. And Steve, my wild card teams, Tampa Bay and Houston. Those are the five squads that I believe get in.
I'm going to flip it around a little bit. Yankees in the East, White Sox in the Central. I'm still going to go with the Astros in the West just because there's so much. There's so many storylines there, right? I mean, are they going to have bullseye targets on their backs all season long? Spoiler alert, yes, they are. Everyone's going to want a piece of them because of what happened in 2017. I'm still going to go with the Astros. I think they're just too deep. As far as wild cards are concerned, A's in the Central. A's out of the West. And, yeah, the wild card thing, I'm still going to go with. I'm going to go with the Indians in the Central. I'm going to go as they're the other wild card team.
So the only team that we differ on, I say Minnesota gets in. You say they do not.
I say they don't make the playoffs. Okay. I think last year was an anomaly, and I think they fall back a little bit.
So I got the Twins. You got the White Sox. Other than that, we're in agreement of the five teams in the American League. We have the National League to still talk about. Again, we have three National League teams playing tonight. The Nationals will go toe-to-toe with the Yankees here in less than an hour, and then we get the Dodgers and the Giants. So we're going to talk about that when we return. We're previewing the 2020 Major League Baseball season right here on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, we're back in just a moment.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Continuing to preview the 2020 Major League Baseball season, and it's underway in less than an hour. We talked about the American League last segment. We're going to talk about the National League right now. Steve, I don't know. I think you probably share the same thoughts as me. Did you think we were going to get a 2020 season a month ago? I sure in the hell didn't.
You know, I remember having a conversation with one of our friends, EJ Christian, and this was right when everything got shut down as to when we thought things would somewhat return to normal. And at that point, I said, I didn't think we'd see anything until Memorial Day. Well, here we are nearly 2 months after Memorial Day, and we're finally getting baseball. We're finally going to get basketball and hockey next week, and then we'll see what happens with college football and the NFL. Look, when we had Memorial Day, if you told me, okay, this is where we're at, didn't look good. So I'm thrilled with it. Crossing our fingers, you know, dotting our I's, crossing our T's, and hopefully things work out. But I think we're going to make it through this. And I think baseball is, you know, we always talk about sports being the remedy for, you know, an ailing group of people, whether it's a population, whether it's a country, whatever. And sometimes we scoff at it. And I think we'll find out this weekend that baseball is going to be one of those, you know, things that we will rally around and we will get behind, whether your team is a first place team in a division or a last place team in a division. I think you're going to see a lot of enthusiasm across the country this week.
Well, I think you and I definitely have a lot to get excited about being Los Angeles Dodger fans. For the last 3 years, you and I picked the Dodgers to win the World Series here on Drive Time Sports. We also did it on your show as well. Hasn't quite worked out, but there is absolutely no reason to believe that this is finally not the year. Again, I catch myself saying that a lot, but Steve, just looking at it front to back, I mean, even with the Yankees, a team we just talked about in the American League a few moments ago, the Dodgers have literally no excuse to not win the World Series this year. Yesterday was a big day. They locked up Mookie Betts long-term for the remainder of his baseball life. He's going to be wearing Dodger blue. Cody Bellinger is fresh off of an MVP season. Clayton Kershaw proved that he still has something. He's making his ninth career start on opening day for the Dodgers. Walker Buehler has been fantastic. The Dodgers made some moves to the bullpen to strengthen it a little bit. They have one of the most potent lineups, and with the NL now having the DH, I mean, the sky's the limit for guys such as Justin Turner, Edwin Rios, I mean, AJ Pollock, who can't seem to stay healthy. Now he just has to worry about batting. There's no excuse for this team not to win the World Series.
And I think you mentioned it, the DH thing. And if you're an NL team that scores runs, okay, and I say that's a very generic statement, but if you're an NL team that puts runs on the board, okay, this is like a smorgasbord now because you have options now in that DH spot. You mentioned Bellinger and Betts, and you and I have spent so much time focusing on who we believe are two of the four best players right now in Major League Baseball. And Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger. Okay, now you throw in Corey Seager. Now you throw in Chris Taylor. Now you throw in Justin Turner, Max Muncy. You throw in Will Smith. You throw in the roster behind the big names. And I would argue with anyone that this is not the, if you believe that this is not the most talented top to bottom position player roster in the entire Major League Baseball. And now you get an extra bat in the lineup. You don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not the pitcher is going to come up in the two spot in the fifth inning as to whether or not you want to get him out of a game. It won't matter anymore. And where you can put the DH as far as where he is in the lineup is concerned. Because literally now you're 8-9-1 part of that roster, that lineup, can be as potent as 2-3-4 in a lineup. And that's going to be huge. And a guy like Dave Roberts managing that, knowing the talent he has, best thing the Dodgers did was they didn't worry about the early exit of the playoffs. They didn't overreact to it. You and I talked about that, how huge it was that Roberts kept his job. Because, again, no one saw this coming, right? But you want that guy who knows every single person, who doesn't have the personality conflicts of a new manager coming into a team. And the idea that you can have an 8-9-1 spot in that lineup now that consists of the 8 guy being maybe Chris Taylor, the 9 guy who would normally be the pitcher in that situation, the 9 guy, and then you end up with Mookie Betts at the leadoff spot. I mean, how amazing is that going to be for a Dodger fan?
Yeah, really. I mean, this team, especially being in the NL West, and I really don't think there's a lot of reason to spend time talking about the NL West just because the Dodgers should win this division from any... They should win it by double digits. I mean, seriously, I don't know that there's anyone that's even close to them. Although there is one team in the NL West that I am semi-intrigued by, and that's the San Diego Padres. I do believe they're another year, maybe 2 years off schedule, but they have some really interesting talent. Tatis, Manny Machado, who we're very familiar with. And then they have a young gun coming up who is going to anchor this pitching rotation at some point in time, and that's Mackenzie Gore. I don't know how much we see Gore this year. Wouldn't surprise me if he's the fourth or fifth man in the rotation by the time we hit the 30-game mark. But this is a team that interests me much more so than the Rockies or the Diamondbacks or the Giants.
I agree, and I think you look at that Padre infield. If Hosmer can come back with some sort of a resemblance of what he was a few years ago, that may be the best infield in the entire National League. You combine Machado and Tatis. I think that infield is going to be very good, and if you can get that pitching to come around, again, I don't think they're a threat to win the division, but I think they're a definite wild card threat.
Let's move on from the National League West, and we'll take a look at the National League East. For a division that features the defending World Series champions, the Washington Nationals, boy, there's been a lot of talk about the Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Mets, and even the Atlanta Braves. It almost is like the Nationals are forgotten, for whatever reason that is. Look, they still have the best 1-2-3 in the National League. They have Steven Strasburg, they have Max Scherzer, and they have Patrick Corbin. I don't think anyone can debate that's the best 1-2-3 pitching-wise. You lose Anthony Rendon, but you still have the likes of Juan Soto, who may just become the face of the league, considering he's only 21 years old. Is it really a one-and-done deal with the Washington Nationals? Because with all the offseason hype, it sure feels like everyone is somewhat writing this team off.
And I'm one of them. I'm right on board. I think this is the Atlanta Braves team now to be the one that makes that leap, into that top spot of the National League East. And it's really all about Ronald Acuna Jr. At 22 years old, he finished his fifth in the National League MVP voting last year. He was 3 stolen bases away of becoming the fifth player to have a 40-40 season. I think he's the reason that this team goes over the top. And again, even with that Nationals, pitching staff, the way they look right now, from a hitting standpoint, I just don't know if they're going to be able to replicate what they were able to do as sort of the cardiac kids from last year where they made the big rally at the end of the season. I don't think that early part of last season is necessarily an anomaly. I think the early part of last season, when they were 19-31 after 50 games last season, you can't do that now. That's not going to work. They need to get off to a fast start. I look at Atlanta. I think they're the team that's going to get off to that quick start, and I think they'll have enough to win. What's very competitive, and you mentioned, we were talking about the American League Central earlier being the most wide open division. I think the NL East could be surprisingly very diverse between the Braves, the Nationals, the Mets, and Phillies probably still have some work to do, but I don't think there's a gimme in that division. I think the Nationals, again, even with that pitching trio of Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, I think the Braves have more youth. I think they have more upside. I think they're the team to beat in that division.
I like what the Braves have pitching-wise as well. Mike Soroka has been fantastic over the last season and a half, on top of everything else. But you mentioned Ronald Acuña, and this has nothing to do with who wins the division. But this is what I really think of when someone says the National League East. You have Ronald Acuña and Juan Soto in the same division. And at some point in time, we're going to have the conversation as to who's the best player in the National League, and it should involve these two teams who share the same division based on Acuña and Soto's ceiling. Who would you rather have?
Oh, Acuña, in a heartbeat.
See, I would go Soto. I really would. I would take Juan Soto over Acuña. Now, I know Acuña is more well-rounded, but Steve, last year Atlanta did not reach their full potential. We can agree on that. Is it fair to say that part of the discord with this team came from the antics of Ronald Acuña?
And I think that's to be said. You can make that claim. I don't want to bring up a sore spot. I can say the same thing about the Dodgers and Yasiel Puig.
Sure, sure. And that's why I bring it up. Because I wonder if I look at this kid and he's oozing talent. He is a much more well-rounded player than Juan Soto. But Juan Soto doesn't carry himself like a 20-year-old kid. Ronald Acuña carries himself like a 20-year-old kid. And to me, there's a lot of warning signs here of Acuña and Puig. I think he's better than Puig. I think he has a higher ceiling than we ever thought that Puig had at one particular time. But that's got to be worrisome for the Atlanta Braves front office. It has to be.
It has to be, especially for the Braves, because the Braves are that team that, I think, old school of Braves. You know, that was a no-nonsense organization. So I'll be curious to see how he, you know, ingratiates himself with his teammates, how he is in the dugout, how he is, you know, in this new era of baseball that we're going to see this year. If he minds his P's and Q's, I think they're fine. If he gets off target, yeah, it could be all or nothing for the Braves. But I look at Acuña. I think he recognized some of his shortcomings last season. Hopefully he recognizes them as shortcomings and will make amends this season.
NL Central, another division that's wide open. A lot of people are very high on the Cincinnati Reds. They made a lot of moves. We talked to Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, yesterday. He said that's his squad. He's rolling with the Cincinnati Reds. He believes that this team could actually become a threat to get to the World Series. Same could be said for the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that you could never count out. And then there's the Chicago Cubs. And Steve, you don't want to hear the name Yu Darvish, but I'm going to bring it up because Yu Darvish was actually pretty good at the end of last season. And when you look at that Cubs rotation in a 60-game season, this could be a fun race here as well.
Could be a fun year for the Cubs. And we haven't even mentioned the Brewers. Christian Yelich will be back,
right,
supposedly at 100%.
Right.
We remember how good they were. I mean, they were that close, you know, to being that team for the last couple of seasons. But you mentioned Cincinnati, and I'm going to roll with Cincinnati this year. I love Mike Moustakas, Nicholas Castellanos on this. That lineup is going to be great. You throw in, you know, the starting pitching. They're the class of the division between Castillo, Sonny Gray, Trevor Bauer, Wade Miley. I think the Reds are that keen this year. And again, it's going to be fun to see. Again, if we get a White Sox-Reds series some point during the season, I hope to God we do, because that's going to be a fun series just with the amount of star talent on those teams. I think Cincinnati we saw signs of it last year towards the end of last season. If the Reds are going to make a run in a crazy sort of, you know, mishmash of a season, I think the Reds are going to be a lot of fun. They open up at home on Friday tomorrow against the Detroit Tigers, and that's a game I'm really looking forward to watching.
Can we really count out the St. Louis Cardinals? I mean, even last year, they get to the NLCS, and I remember I didn't think they had much of a chance in that series, but then I had to second-guess myself because, okay, well, I didn't think they had a chance in hell of getting to the playoffs, and here they are in the NLCS. Over the course of a 60-game season, I don't think you can sleep on the Cardinals. I really don't.
You can't sleep on the Cardinals, but it's that thing of when does that trigger kick, right? Because it's always that thing where they're the team in the second half of the season. Well, there is no second half of the season because it's all a sprint right now, and I think that's going to be their thing. Again, they're that team that they hang around long enough, but I think you have to get off to a fast start. St. Louis never does. I don't think they will here, and I think they're going to find themselves out of it sort of early on. But to your question, Can you ever count them out? No, because they're just that team. I think the Brewers are the team that gets overlooked here. We talked about the Nationals getting overlooked in the National League East. I think the Brewers get overlooked. And again, I look at just the return of Christian Yelich as being a major, major spoke for them. I think if he's 100%, I think he gets that team rolling a little bit. I think the Brewers will be fun. I think they're the National League Central, you know, team as far as the wild card's concerned. But I think that's a fun division. It's definitely going to come down to, I think, the last week of the season in the National League Central.
It's time for the moment of truth. Give me your five playoff teams in the National League, and then I'll go.
All right. National League East, I'm going to go with the Braves as the winner. National League Central, I'm going to go with the Reds as the winner. National League West, I'm going to go with the Dodgers as the winner. As far as your wild cards are concerned, I'm going to go in the National League Central. I'm going to go with the Brewers. In the National League West, I'm going to go with the Padres to get into the playoffs. As the wild card, I think the Dodgers win the National League.
I'm going to go with the Nationals out of the NL East. I'm going to take the Nationals to win the division. I'm going to say the Braves do get a wild card spot. In the Central, part of me really wants to pick the Cardinals, but the Cincinnati Reds, it's hard to ignore. Oh man, I'm going to say the Cardinals win the division, the Reds become the wild card, give me the Dodgers out of the NL West. That's going to be my prediction. I believe the Dodgers win the National League, and Steve, I think it's fate, and I also think that any asterisks will be removed if we get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, because they are the two most talented teams in baseball. I believe that's our World Series, and I'll take the Dodgers to finally, 32 years later, win a World Series.
And if anyone wants to talk about asterisks on championships this year, I kind of agree with you. If it's your Dodgers-Yankees World Series, I think you take asterisks away. And at the same time, I don't care if you're an anti-Dodgers fan or you're mad at baseball or whatever. You can put the biggest asterisk you want next to this because the trophy is still going to look the same.
Yeah, look, the Astros have a trophy. It looks the exact same. It's just a piece of metal, if I can quote the Major League Baseball commissioner. So why not?
Exactly. I don't really care. So long as the trophy is in our name, as long as it says in the bottom of the trophy, LA Dodgers, I really don't care if you want to put an 8 asterisk next to it.
Steve Bornstein, breaking down Major League Baseball. Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I know you have a lot popping up in radio. We'll talk more about that when the time comes, but I'm definitely looking forward to more conversations.
Definitely. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, since we are now, you know, back in the real world, you can feel free to follow me on Twitter at Radio Durango SB. Radio Durango SB.
Perfect. Steve Bornstein, our guest right now as we preview Major League Baseball. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to be back live in the studio on Monday, 3-day weekend coming up. That means tomorrow it's the best of Drive Time Sports. Enjoy the opening night of Major League Baseball. Enjoy Utah Jazz basketball. It makes its return tonight at 6 p.m. The Jazz in a scrimmage game with the Phoenix Suns. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe. I am out.